fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'll be retiring from the Voice of America in just over 3 weeks. My last show will be March 27th. I'll be leaving the Voice of America after nearly 36 years here and with lots of good memories. I'll share a few of those memories with you over the next few weeks. The Sunny Side of Sports has its origins at the 1998 FIFA World Cup in France, where the Voice of America sent me for coverage of football's premier event. I have fond memories of doing World Cup telephone chats from Paris to Washington with the VOA's late, great, gallant Ghanaian, King Richard Coty. King Richard died in 2003 here in Washington from complications of a stroke. King Richard had a deep, beautiful voice. And when he was especially happy in the office, he would break out into song, often about his beloved Black Stars of Ghana. Go Black Stars! But let's get back to that 1998 FIFA World Cup. Host France beat defending champion Brazil 3-0 in the final, which was held at the Stade de France in Saint-Denis, just outside Paris. The stadium will also host the athletics competition and the closing ceremony at this year's Paris Olympics. For decades, the ethnically mixed working-class department of Saint-Denis has faced a lot of negative stereotypes, but it's angling for a different image when it welcomes part of this year's Olympic and Paralympic Games. Many hope the Olympics construction projects now underway will go beyond an urban facelift and deliver lasting change. Lisa Bryant reports from Saint-Denis.
These days, Saint-Denis seems like one big construction site. There are works to help green the town, bring in new public transport, and because of the Paris Olympics. Last week, President Emmanuel Macron inaugurated the new Olympic Village that is spread across Saint-Denis and two other suburban towns located a few kilometers from the French capital. The site will house some 23,000 Olympic and Paralympic athletes during the two events and include a restaurant and a fitness center. Mathieu Hanotin is the mayor of Saint-Denis.
The heritage will be colossal. It will be the Olympic Village, but also bridges, footbridges, the Olympic swimming pool, and some key and massive urban renewal projects.
After the games, officials say the green-friendly village will be turned into public and private housing and offices aimed for low-income residents, students, and professionals. Saint-Denis' new center for Olympic swimming events will later open to the public in an area where 6 in 10 kids can't swim. The Seine-Saint-Denis department is known as the poorest in France. Going by the nickname of 9-3, it's been associated, fairly or not, with crime and unrest. Until now, Saint-Denis' main attractions were its football stadium and 12th-century basilica. The Olympics projects have employed thousands of local residents. Mayor Hanata hopes the games will attract more projects and investment.
I never thought the games would change everything, but for a town like ours, they're a fantastic opportunity to change faster and better and amount to a new start for Saint-Denis.
Some here share that optimism.
Yes, the Olympics are always good for a country economically and for different peoples to meet.
There'll be lots of tourists. I'm for the Olympics.
Others worry about crowds and traffic jams. Some critics claim the French Games won't be as green or as inclusive as authorities promise. Antoine Duclair is coordinator for the reverse side of the medal campaign.
We see a lot of evictions of homeless people or people living in slums and squats in all Olympics sites, but all across the city as well. So they try to put away and make invisible all the poverty that we have all around here in Paris.
Authorities deny accusations of so-called social cleansing and say they are arranging voluntary housing for the homeless. Mayor Hanotin believes France has a responsibility to deliver success, not just for Olympic athletes and tourists, but also for the people here. Lisa Bryant, VOA News, Saint-Denis, France.
Thanks, Lisa. The 2024 Olympics are scheduled from July 26th to August 11th in France, and the Paralympics are scheduled from August 28th to September 8th. The 13th African Games officially open Friday in Accra, Ghana. A student athlete at West Texas A&M University here in the USA is hoping to make host Ghana proud in distance running at the African Games. For more details, we're joined by Yawufusu Larbi in Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. For many athletes, the breakthrough year is always the most important. They work for years waiting for the right moment. In William Amponsen's case, 2023 was that year. The year it all began to come together. In the men's cross-country section on the West Texas A&M website, Amponsen dominates. He was voted the LSC Newcomer of the Year, LSC Runner of the Year, the NCAA Division II Cross-Country Men's Athlete of the Year, and won the Men's Runner of the Week in the open season three times. That was some year for him. An incredibly good year, but it wasn't all rosy. He had to put in the work.
It has been tough, you know. Every day you have to be awake by 5, and then you start to run, whether it is cold or it's not cold, whether you feel like doing it or not. So after I started, I saw that it's not something that's going to be soft. You have to always come out of your comfort zone and all of that, and a lot of distance athletes in the world. So if you are going to be at the top, then you have to do things differently, you know.
Amposta started his journey as a long-distance runner back in junior high school in Aguna Swedro. But it wasn't until he entered the Swedro School of Business that he knew he actually had it. Amposta began with sprinting, but he didn't have the heart or the legs for it. Long distance running just felt like something that best suited his abilities. His current coach, Zach Daniel, is fond of the man. He speaks of the athletes with such pleasant assuredness.
He's very, very humble for somebody that's as good as he is. He's undefeated right now in the U.S., which is really unheard of, especially for somebody that's only been here for 2 to 3 months. Yeah, that's his biggest quality, right? He's everything that I've given him. He's never complained once. He's eager to learn. He shows up on time, shows up early. Just really overall good guy.
William will compete at the African Games in the 5,000 meters and the marathon in Accra this month in front of his family and the teeming Ghanaian crowd. As an athlete, representing your country is always a good feeling. But doing it at a major sporting event in front of your home fans is surreal. Amponsen is relishing the moment.
This will be the first time that I'll be having such an experience where my, yeah. So that one will also be an extra, like, extra inspiration. When I think about it, that I have people at my back who are looking forward to cheering me on and all of that.
It will be a shocker if a Ghanaian ever wins a major marathon at the expense of competitors from East Africa. But with William Amponsen in the saddle, that feat isn't too far off. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. The president of the Nigeria Volleyball Federation, Musa Nimrod, says the team will win medals at the African Games. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the official said the Nigerian volleyball players have had good preparation.
We had a campaign before the ministry. If we are interested in podium, that's why we come 3 weeks before the ministry. 2 weeks.
How many volleyball events will Nigeria participate at the African Games?
Both indoor, both male and female. Beach volleyball, both male and female, we all qualify.
As you prepare for the African Games, do you have any injury scares, any challenge in the camp for the men and female teams?
No, let me be very frank with you. Before they entered into the ministry camp, we did our medical checkup. And those that had problems at that point, we got them out and placed them before the ministry camp. And we did a complete medical checkup. And we had some issues with one or two players. And now, right, at the ministry level, the ministry also did some medical checkup.
What message do you have for Nigerians on the medal prospects or chances of the volleyball teams to the African Games?
I doubt it. If Nigeria will come back empty. Definitely, I'm not somebody who promises, but somebody who is very optimistic. But I doubt it. They will come back empty. That is all I will say. I'm not somebody who promises, but I'm assuring you. That's how we got at the last African Youth Games. Nobody expected, and we came back with gold. So I doubt it. We will come back empty.
That's Musa Nimrod, the president of the Nigeria Volleyball Federation, and he spoke by telephone from Abuja with Iron Mike Mbonye. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll bring you an in-depth interview with the executive director for UNAIDS, Winnie Byanyima. She'll talk about her efforts to elevate the position of girls across the African continent. We'll also take you to the International Women of Courage Awards, where the U.S. State Department is recognizing more than 190 women from 90 countries around the world. Join me, Haiti Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which will tip off its fourth season on Saturday, March 9th, in Pretoria, South Africa. In the opening game, BAL debutante FUS Rabat of Morocco will meet Petro de Luanda of Angola. Now, Petro has reached the BAL playoffs in all three previous BAL seasons. In 2021, the Angolan squad finished third overall. In 2022, Petro was runner-up, losing in the final to U.S. Monastir of Tunisia. And in 2023, Petro de Luanda finished fourth overall. In the second game on Saturday, the home team, Cape Town Tigers of South Africa, will face Dynamo Basketball Club of Burundi. Dynamo, like Rabat, is making its BAL debut. The four teams in Pretoria, Rabat, Petro, Cape Town Tigers, and Dynamo, make up the new Kalahari Conference. The games will continue through March 17th, and they'll be played at the 8,500-seat Sunbet Arena. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. There were six NBA games Monday night in Southern California. The Los Angeles Lakers defeated the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder, as we hear now from the AP's Tom Merriam.
The Thunder stay atop the Western Conference lasted only 24 hours as they were soundly defeated by the Lakers 116-104 while the Timberwolves won their game. Oklahoma City was up 11-8 minutes into this game, but L.A. outscored them 41-21 the rest of the half to go up by 9 at the intermission. The Lakers then put the game out of reach with a 37-29 third quarter to take a 17-point lead into the fourth. D'Angelo Russell led the Lakers with 26 points.
To come in and try to dominate the rebounds and things like that, that's just going to give us another advantage against a really good team.
Anthony Davis scored 24 with 12 rebounds. LeBron James also had a double-double with 16 points and 11 rebounds. The Lakers have won 10 of their last 14 games. I'm Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom. As Tom mentioned, the Timberwolves won their game Monday night to move back into first place in the NBA's Western Conference. With more details on Minnesota's win, here's the AP's David Schuster.
Rudy Gobert led the way with a double-double of 25 points and 16 rebounds as the Timberwolves defeated the Trailblazers 119-114. Gobert was almost perfect shooting the basketball, going 9 of 10 from the field and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Anthony Edwards scored only 13 points and didn't start because he wasn't on the court in time for the opening tip. Also in the third quarter, he left the game for a short while with an elbow contusion. Anfernee Simons led Portland with a game-high 34 points. I'm David Schuster.
Thanks, David. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks overcame the absence of superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo to beat the Los Angeles Clippers. Giannis watched from the bench with left Achilles tendonitis as the two-time league MVP missed his third game of the season. The AP's Chuck Freeman tells us more about the victory by the Bucks.
The Bucks are 6-0 since the All-Star break. They played without Giannis Antetokounmpo, but had a dramatic 113-106 victory over the Clippers. Damian Lillard had 41 points. Bobby Portis had 28-13 in the fourth quarter. Portis felt he had to step up his game with Antetokounmpo out of the lineup.
I think it was one of those times for me just to step up and be a little more aggressive than, you know, I probably was before. But, you know, credit my teammates and Doc for trusting me and coming to me and had it rolling for sure.
The Bucks were down by 13 late in the third quarter. James Harden and Paul George each had 29 for the Clippers. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. The other winners on Monday night in the NBA were Memphis, Utah, and Chicago. Joining me once again on the sunny side of sports is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on, man?
European club football. Some big matches this evening in Spain and Germany. Second leg round of 16 matches in the UEFA Champions League. Let's begin in Spain, Mukbil. PSG goes into that game against Real Sociedad with a 2-0 advantage. It looks like the home team from Spain really has its work cut out for it, Mukbil.
Absolutely. It's always difficult, Sonny, coming back in the second leg of the Champions League. That's why it's called the Champions League. It's a league full of champions across Europe, and we know how difficult it is to try to make up a 2-0 differential, especially when you have the likes of Kylian Mbappe on the other side, who is a walking goal-scoring machine. So it's going to be a very, very tall task for Real Sociedad. Like we said, luckily for them, they're at home, so maybe that gives them a little bit more comfortability, but it is going to be a very, very difficult match for them regardless.
Do you see PSG maybe playing some conservative football, you know, maybe not just trying to hold the advantage, so to speak?
Very possible. The problem with knowing exactly what this team will possibly do is just when you have players like I said, like Mbappe, you know, who likes to push the tempo of the game, he's probably thinking, look, if we gave them two at home, who's to say we can't do it on their home field as well? So I don't think they'll take that much of an approach, but it's possible if they somehow go down 1-0, maybe try to keep it then and just say, look, we'll just park the bus and just, you know, wait in the back and just make it to the next level on goal aggregates.
Let's move to the second game this evening, Mukbil. In Germany, Bayern Munich will try to come back from a 1-0 disadvantage against Lazio. Your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, Bayern Munich has had a very, very difficult season. This is one of those seasons where when we're watching this Bayern Munich team who has such a high-level pedigree and championship quality, to see them perform the way they have this season is really not like them. So I'm expecting them to kind of try and turn things around. Luckily for them, 1-0 is not that big of a difference. You just need to score one as well and then, you know, go into extra time and the likes. But I think they have it in them to, you know, to play to their potential. But Lazio is just playing better than them at this point of the season. So for me, when I'm looking at it, I'm seeing Lazio kind of giving Lazio that edge a little bit. But if Bayern Munich plays with the chip on their shoulder that they should have because they are down about 10 points in the Bundesliga to Bayern Leverkusen, I'm expecting them to try to make something of this season and salvage at least, you know, trying to go to the next level, to the next rounds, I should say, of the Champions League.
Let's move to Wednesday, Muckbill. Two more Champions League matches. Man City will play Copenhagen. Man City coming off that 3-1 Premier League victory over Manchester United. They have a 3-1 aggregate lead. How do you see that match?
So clearly they like 3-1, right? So for me, I'm seeing Man City as a team who is starting to click. We see this, Sonny, for a lot of teams, especially high quality teams that, you know, last year Man City went for the treble. So we know what they do in the second half of the season. Second half of the season, they are letting you know that, look, as long as we're within striking range, we're right there. We don't want you, you know, to feel like we can't get the job done. So Liverpool is 1 point ahead of them at the moment. Arsenal is 1 point below them at the moment. And they're in that second place spot in the English Premier League. In Champions League, they've done what they needed to do in their first leg. If they come out of this, even 0-0 draw or 1-0, Copenhagen has to make up that differential, which is going to be a tall task in and of itself. Not impossible, but seeing the way that Man City played against Manchester United this past weekend, they went down a goal and they were very poised the entirety of the game. So I think if I were to have to, you know, give a kind of an edge to a team, I think Man City comes out of that one.
Man City's Phil Foden has been playing some wonderful football, Muckbill. Do you see him getting on the score sheet tomorrow?
Stellar. He is really, like I said, similar to the team. He is starting to click towards the second half of the season. He's one of the brightest young stars from the English national team. Hopefully he gets a nod and breaks into that that top 11 because I think he is a phenomenal player. Question is then, who do you play on that right wing? Saka or Foden? You know, maybe you play them both together and have one of them go on the left side because they are both left-footed, but, you know, teams like to use the inverted player on opposite wings now so they can cut in. But I would like to see both of them playing. They're both amazing young talents, and that's the direction the English national team should go for, the younger guys who are really playing well.
Always a good thing when you have that abundance of talent.
Oh, sometimes, Sonny, it can be problematic when there's too much talent. You got so much to pick from, and we've seen that with AFCON, a team like Nigeria that had so many players to pick from. Who do you put on the roster that can kind of gel together, that can kind of play together, that style of play that you want? So I'm interested to see what that England national team does upcoming years.
Let's look at the other match on Wednesday, Muckbill. Real Madrid, such a proud team. They have a 1-0 advantage over RB Leipzig. Your thoughts?
Real Madrid's one of those other teams at the moment who are kind of coasting, man. They have so much talent, Sonny. We see it. Very young team that might potentially add Kylian Mbappe to their roster this year, as he has mentioned trade rumors and moving in the transfer market, saying that he will not re-sign with PSG. Now, we don't know if PSG, you know, makes a run in the champs and maybe kind of wins Champions League. Does that change his, moment? Does that change his idea of the team? Does he stay there? So I don't know. But with the team that they have right now, with Vinicius Jr., with Jude Bellingham, with Rodrigo Camavinga, this is a very young team and a very dominating young team with so much star power that if you add somebody like Mbappe, Man, it kind of reminds me of the old Galacticos of Real Madrid with Ronaldo and Figo and Zidane and those guys. But yeah, amazing team. I think they get the job done against RB Leipzig, and they're awaiting that next level. I think Man City, Real Madrid look like the two strongest teams at the moment in the Champions League. So we'll see if they reclash again.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm chatting with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow, about the UEFA Champions League and other European club football developments. Mukbil, let's look back to Monday. Your beloved Gunners with a huge victory. For our Sunny Side of Sports listeners, I want you to know my phone was just blowing up on Monday. It was like a pinball machine as all these goals kept coming in from the Gunners. Mukbil says, there's another one. And I'm looking at my phone. I said, that can't be right.
Right.
That can't be right.
Is he sending multiple texts? Did the text come through twice? What was going on?
6-0.
Sonny, craziest part about all of it is that 5 came in before the first half. In the first 39 minutes of the game, 5-0 against Sheffield. And then, you know, Arsenal added one more in the second half with Ben White scoring. But interesting stuff, man. If you just look at the 6 goals were scored by different teammates, except for the Bogle goal, which was an own goal, but it was set up by Saka, really, okay, who put it into that spot. But Odegaard scores, then that own goal by Bogle, Martinelli, Havertz, Rice, and Ben White. So when you have that many different players that are getting on the score sheet, it really shows you how scary of a team Arsenal can be when they're clicking on all cylinders. I seen a stat, Sonny, earlier that I was looking at, which was very, very interesting. Arsenal have outscored opponents 31-3 in 11 Premier League games.
Wow.
In all wins.
Wow.
31-3. That's the first English club to win 3 straight away games by 5-plus goals as well. So
they're clicking.
They're, you know, firing on all cylinders is what they say, man.
Well, Mukbil, very tight race at the top of the Premier League. And with that 6-0 win over Sheffield, the Gunners have positioned themselves well when it comes to goal difference. Tell our listeners about that.
Absolutely. So goal differential at the moment, Arsenal has 45 plus goals. So goal differential is the goals that you score versus the goals that were scored against you, and you subtract those two numbers. So Arsenal are plus 45. The closest team to them is Liverpool, and Liverpool have 39. So they are 6 goals ahead of Liverpool, and they are 10 goals ahead of Man City. And those are the 3 teams that are basically, you know, in that title hunt at the moment. Aston Villa is in that 4th spot with 55 points. They're just, I would say, a little bit too far out. I don't see those 3 teams all dropping that many points to kind of let Villa in, but anything is still possible. So Villa, interestingly enough, Aston Villa and Tottenham have a, so the number 4th team and the number 5th team will be clashing this weekend, as well as the number 1 team and the number 2 team. So Arsenal in that number 3rd spot is getting away by playing Brentford in that 15th spot. We're the only team in the top 5 that is not going up against a top 5 contender.
So we could see a change at the top, quite possibly.
Absolutely. If a draw happens and Arsenal beats Brentford, they jump. If Liverpool wins, they extend that lead. If Man City wins, they jump, and Liverpool goes down to the 3rd slot if Arsenal's able to win. So, man, it's so many possibilities, but I'm loving the fact that it's tight and it's not a, you know, runaway. This is the type of exciting football that we love to see week in and week out.
And finally, Mukbil, could you quickly run down the 3 teams at the bottom of the Premier League in the relegation zone right now?
Absolutely. Luton Town, Burnley, and Sheffield United. Unfortunately for Burnley and Sheffield, they both have 13 points, very far away from that 18th, the 3rd team, which is Luton Town, that have 20. Now, Luton Town and Nottingham Forest have a 4-point differential. They're going to try to make that up. So it's a win and a draw away from getting out of that relegation zone.
Thank you, Muck Bill. And that wraps up the March 5th edition of the show. Thanks to my producer and VOA sports reporter this evening, Muck Bill Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Audrius Regis. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.